And let's hear more now about the history of the Kurds and their often troubled alliances in the region. Michael Gunter is a political science professor at Tennessee Tech University. He's written several books on the issue. We've reached him via Skype. Professor, welcome.
Thank you.
And there are about 30 million Kurds living in the Middle East. It's the largest ethnic group in the world without a country. Tell me more. Who are the Kurds?
Kurds are a separate ethnic group in Turkey, Iran, Iraq, and for our purposes today, Syria. Now, what distinguishes the Kurds is that they do not speak Turkish and they do not speak Arabic. Kurdish is a Indo-European language, more related to English and European languages than it is to Arabic or Turkish. Kurdish is an Iranian language. They have been semi-autonomous for hundreds of years until late in the 19th century, the Ottoman Empire began to centralize, and that actually led to some beginning awareness of Kurdish nationalism. The trouble with Kurdish nationalism, however, has been its divisions. The Kurds looked at themselves primarily as Muslims rather than to their ethnic group until recently.
The Kurdish fighters in Syria seem like an interesting group. Women are fighting on the front lines. We read that they were inspired by a Bronx-born socialist. Tell me more about who they are and how and their philosophies.
The Syrian Kurds are the smallest group of Kurds in these four states, maybe 2 million Syrian Kurds. And until the Syrian civil war that began in March 2011, we heard almost nothing about the Syrian Kurds. But when the opportunity came because of the civil war, the strongest party very quickly that emerged is an affiliated party with the PKK, which is a Marxist party in Turkey that has become more moderate in recent years. So the party that runs the Kurds in Syria is a socialist party. Yes, I would say that.
Take us back a century at the end of World War I, when it looked as though the Kurds might actually get their own autonomous state. What happened?
Well, it might have looked like that, but the Kurds were not ready to even have a Kurdish nationalism, alone their own state. So when the negotiations occurred after World War I, the Kurds were not organized enough. They were tribally divided. So at the end of World War I, the attempt to have a Kurdish state fizzled very quickly.
And what role did the United States have in abandoning what seemed like a promise at the time to many Kurds, I'm sure?
Well, it's true that President Woodrow Wilson promised self-determination as a way to break up the Ottoman Empire. But unfortunately, President Wilson had no idea, really, the enormous amount of different ethnic groups there were in Europe or the Middle East. So the United States really walked away from any of this after World War I.
What happened with the Kurds after World War I? In the time leading up to more modern history in the Persian Gulf War?
The Kurds, after World War I, were put into four different states, as we said, and the Kurds, as a reaction to the attempt to assimilate them, began to form their own Kurdish nationalism.
And is that why today the Turks consider the Kurds to be terrorists because of that growing nationalist sentiment?
And because that sentiment has been expressed violently.
Explain.
Well, the Kurds began in 1978, the rebellion under the PKK and Abdullah Öcalan, their leader. And it was a reaction to Turkish attempts to assimilate the Kurds and deny any rights to the Kurds as a people, the Kurds.
How did the Kurds become such valuable allies in the war against ISIS?
The United States tried practically everything else, and the other ethnic minority groups in Syria turned to be duds, and Turkey was more interested in fighting against a possible Kurdish problem than ISIS. So almost by default, the United States hit upon supporting the Syrian Kurds against ISIS, and it worked. The Syrian Kurds were fighters, and they also were fighting for their life against ISIS.
Well, Henri Barkey wrote in Foreign Affairs recently that as recently as 2017, the Kurds were enjoying something of a renaissance because of this, because they had gained territory and pushed back the Islamic State. But today, they're under attack again. The Turkish forces have crossed the border into Syria. What do you think? Will the Kurds ever see their own homeland established?
Yes, but we cannot predict when that will be. But you ask me, starting in World War I, you can see since World War I, the Kurds have become more and more ethnically, nationally conscious. Already in Iraqi Kurdistan, you have a de facto state. And in Syria, Rojava is a de facto Kurdish state, which is what is exercising Turkey so much right now.
That's Michael Gunter. He's a professor at Tennessee Tech University and an expert on the Kurds. Professor, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.